And yeah. And again, like, you know, would you want to work with somebody like that anyway? You know, that doesn't
exactly
what do you care? Right. Say thank you. Next, you know, like, right. I'm glad I'm not going to your boat. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So let's talk about, so what's your advice for this, in this case, or not just woman, you know, anybody who is wanting to join the yachting industry and they feel a little bit daunting, a little bit scared because their skin's color is not what they see on the magazines, you know, the norm or whatever. What's your advice to them?
My advice is this. If this is something that you want, just go after it. The right boat is going to come. The right captain is going to come to you, or the right chief stew is going to come to you and hire you. Because if it's something that I was determined, I didn't care. Like, if when I want something, I get it. And so if it's something that you really, really want, go after it. Wholeheartedly, just go after it. When I decided to do this, I quit my job. Well, I didn't quit. I had a 3-month contract at the hotel. It was a temporary contract. And I said, after this contract, I'm going to go to Fort Lauderdale and I'm going to get a job on a boat. Like, that was it. I had zero experience. I built my resume off of what advice I was given. And I got my SCCW. I got my ENG1. And I went to Fort Lauderdale and I stayed there for 2 months and did not get a job at all. Like, I did not get a job. I left home with $700, didn't get a job. Thankfully, I was staying with family members, but I came back home and I felt discouraged because I was like, I don't have a job. Like, I went over there for a job and I don't have a job. But as soon as I came back home, I picked up my first day charter. Like, I got back home, I dusted myself off, and I was like, you know what? Let me just walk the docks again, because I really want this. And from there, it just kind of snowballed, because if you do a good job the first time, you get called back. And then if that boat doesn't need you, they always know somebody else that's going to need a stew. Everyone always needs a stew. Yeah. So it's just a matter of just staying focused and staying determined. Just go after it. I don't care how many no's you get. I don't care how many people look at you sideways because of your skin color or your accent or whatever it is. Go after it. If it's what you want, go after it. You're going to get it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. I think, like, a lot of the times we tend to use these little excuses of like, oh, yeah, they're racist, they're this, they're that, just because we're so afraid of going after what we want that we need to create some resistance to get there. So we're like putting all these excuses when in reality, yes, does racism exist? Absolutely. But it exists in the human reality, not just in yachting, you know?
Right.
Like, so I definitely agree with you. That's great advice. Thanks for that. And let's talk a little bit about egos on boats, right? Because I feel like, you know, even like when there's some sort of racism happening or anything, sexism, whatever it is, there is, of course, some, you know, the ego is involved, right? So what's your experience with that within the industry?
So it's annoying. But I've experienced, and it's only with males that I've experienced this. It has never been with a female. But being somebody who was so interested in all facets of yachting, like, I wanted to learn a little bit about everything every time I got on a different boat. So I would always go to the captain and try to build you know, a working relationship with the captain, to where, you know, I could try to talk to them about, oh, what does this do? And why do you do this? And how does this work? And it was always like a chip on their shoulder when I would ask them a question. It'd be like, why do you need to know that? And I'm like, because I want to learn. And the egos, it's usually from the captain, or actually I've only experienced it with the captain. Very rarely, I think I've experienced it with a deck because I've worked on so many boats, but very rarely is it somebody beneath the captain. And I feel like I didn't even, as I realized that, you know, some captains just really don't want to have a friendship or any kind of, you know, social, which is crazy to me because we have to live together, sir. Like, yeah. How do, you're only going to make this experience miserable for the most of us. Like, just be friendly, you know? But I've realized with the ego thing, you just find who is willing to be friends with you, you know, because you need friends in the industry. You need to be able to talk to somebody. It gets lonely. You don't have, you basically moving in with strangers and you have to live with these people and work with these people. And you want to learn and you want to be able to do your job the best that you can while also trying to help out wherever you can, you know, and being somebody green who is just getting into the industry and trying to learn, it's hard when there's so much ego involved, you know?
When you say ego, what specifically do you mean by that?
What I mean is persons who look down on you because you're green, and they tend to put you down and tell you things like, what have they said to me before? So many ignorant things, but it's like people would look down on you and be like, well, you don't need to know any of that. You're just a stew. You're just, you know, your job is to do this. You don't need to worry about that. But you're so eager to know more about the industry and learn more about what you're doing to try and help out, you know, the egos that get in the way, and you're just trying to learn, you know? And I've been fortunate enough to have, honestly, just recently, I just came off of a trip literally today. I guess just left this morning. But I've been fortunate to be on crew with, it was just me and the captain, and he taught me so much on deck. Like, he taught me how to, in the 10 years that I've been doing this, not one captain was willing to show me how to do lines, how to do, you know, how to drop an anchor, how to lift an anchor, how to pull out fender. Like, I was never able to have that experience. And it was either because the boat was too big or because the captain just didn't want to show me, you know? And so the egos, it's just, it's an annoying screen between you and somebody that you know you can learn from.
Right.
You know?
I think, you know, as you say this, what's coming up for me is, you know, there is the social part of the job, and especially on smaller boats, you do kind of want to make sure that you are with people that you can relate to and kind of be a little bit of a family friendly environment, because it's such
right.
Boat, you know, niche. But on a bigger boat, then there's a little bit more space where, you know, that may not be the case. And yes, it's true that not every captain, in this case, you know, we're focusing on the captain, they may not want to interact in a social manner. They're not mm-hmm. there to be your friends. And that's, you know, that's totally understandable. But there is also the other side of then the leadership, right? And yeah. One of the things, me, myself as a leader, is that I see a lot of, you know, there's a big gap on leadership in the industry, because a lot yeah. of people think, oh, I know how to drive a boat, I'm a captain. No.
Mm-hmm.
You are, yes, that's part of being a captain, but that's not all of it, right? Like right. there's also a management, there's also leadership skills that you need to have in order to successfully become a captain, right? Not yeah. just a driver who just delegates or gives order or whatever, right?
Right.
So, but a lot of people don't take the time to understand leadership and even understand what is their, what do you call it? Their default leadership style, right? Yeah. So if your default leadership style is somebody who you don't you basically is a delegative style.
Yeah.
You will never teach anybody anything.
Nope.
Because your default style is, I hire you to do the job. Do the job. Don't ask questions. I don't want to know. Bye. I do mine. Do yours so mine can be done successfully. So that's a default mode that some people in leaderships, in management roles it's the way they lead. But they don't understand that's the way they lead. But that doesn't mean that you can't tap into different leadership styles. You know, but you have to learn that, right? You have to learn when I need to tap into a more authoritarian style or when I need to tap into this. So I think that that gap that the industry has for so long, it's what's causing mainly, you know, these issues that you have come across where it looks like from the outside, oh, this person is an asshole. They don't want to teach you. But the reality is like, it's not... It doesn't, it's not in them. Not everybody's a teacher, you know? And especially if they don't understand what's their default, it's going to be even harder. Then that's that part. And then there's the other part where what the fuck are they reflecting on you, about you, right? It's like, why am I repeating? Why am I dating the same fucking guy over and over with the same, you know what I mean? Why am I always with the same captain, but with a different name, that kind of thing. It's like, okay, let me take responsibility, get out of the victim mentality and see what's here for me. What is it that I need to learn in order to stop from manifesting the same person over and over in my career or life or whatever, right? So what comes up for you when I say all this?
Honestly, I understand all of that completely. And I learned later on that I can't make you teach me anything, but what I can do is watch and learn. And if their default mode, as you call it, if their default mode is, you know, do your job, shut up, don't talk to me, that's fine. I can do that. And usually when it's like that, it's probably best to do that because it's not going to cause any issues between you and the captain because you're trying to force something that's not going to happen. But I learned to learn from a distance. So if the captain isn't going to talk to me, then I'll just go to the deckhand. Deckhand doesn't want to talk to me, I'll just go to the other stew. Stew doesn't want to talk to me, I'll go to the chef. And, you know, but I had to learn that later on. But the whole ego thing is something that I brought up because we're talking about people wanting to get into the industry. And that is something that I've experienced. And being green and not knowing those things, it kind of, you know, it put like a little damper on my excitement for the industry because I wanted to learn so much. So I didn't learn until later that not everyone is a teacher, like you said, you know? So I completely agree. I completely agree with all of that. I just don't want people to, I want persons that are watching this, green or experienced, to know that, hey, you know, there are some green people that's going to come in the industry and they're going to want to know a lot. And instead of just brushing them off, even if you don't want to teach them yourself, refer them to someone else, you know, because not everyone is going to be as resilient as me because I'm just like an annoying pest. Like, I'm going to come at you. I'm going to come because I want to learn. So I'm going to come at you as much as I can. And not everyone is going to be as resilient as I am and not let it get to me so much that I won't want to learn anymore, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people tend to forget what it was like when they joined the industry.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, just chill. Actually take a journey down memory fucking lane, you know? Like I'm pretty sure you're gonna find yourself in the same space that this kid is.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
And you can have a little bit more compassion towards like how to handle that. And also investing in leadership skills. Like I cannot say this enough, you know. And leadership skills is personal development at the end of the day, it's personal growth, you know. And one thing is like, if you're new to the industry, this is why it's so important, the boundaries that we were talking about earlier, where, okay, if I am a super eager learner and I want the boat that I'm in to teach me, you need to ask before you accept the job, do they like to teach? How do they teach? You know, like what, so you know if that's in alignment with what you want. And if they're like, actually, like, no, that's not what we do here, this is what we do or whatever. And if they do end up saying yes, and then you go there and it's a different story, then you can be like, hey, when we, you know, when you hire me, this is what we agree on. So there's like a base, right? But when we are just like so eager to just like get in the door and we just take whatever is in front of us, that is going to create some sort of problem in the future, because you never did the, you never took the time to know if that job was in alignment with you.
Right.
And what was actually okay and not okay, and what you wanted and what you didn't want it, and what's my limits, and you know, what's negotiable and what's not negotiable, you know?
Right, and, exactly.
And this is where not knowing that can cause issues, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I completely agree, because like you said, you're so eager and you're so excited to just jump in. You take anything, and you have to slow down and take a step back and be like, okay, I'm going to be living on a boat with strangers. I don't know any of these people. I need to make sure that this is what I want long term, especially if it's like a, you know, a permanent contract. I need to make sure that I'm able to live with this before I go, because the excitement of being able to travel and the money and, you know, the opportunities and all of this stuff can cloud logic and can cloud the fact that you know that you have certain habits. You know that there are certain things that you don't like. And these people may come with all of these things, and now you're stuck in a boat for 6 months miserable.
Just because you didn't ask, you know,
because just because you didn't ask, you didn't do research. Anything. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, like, this is not just a green crew. Like, I see this often with people in the industry that have been doing, you know, been in the industry for a long time. They don't ask questions. They just jump on the boat, because now they're not freaking out because they want to get into the industry. They're freaking out because they need a job. You know, I need money. Yeah. Just get me whatever. And this, like you said, it clouds your judgment to the point where people get into situations, and I'm talking like sex, like human trafficking situations, like crazy shit, because it's out there. You know what I mean? And because you didn't ask the right questions, because you decided to not listen to your intuition, because you decided to ignore all the fucking red flags in front of you, you know, then you get yourself into trouble. You know, it's like all you had to do was ask, like you said, step back, just take a breather, look at everything. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. And again, something I also had to learn during, you know, my course of being in the industry, because it took me a while to get a permanent job. Because usually when the boats come to the Bahamas, they're already crewed up. So I had a lot of freelance work during the beginning of my career here in yachting. And I would get, like, I don't know how algorithms was working back then, but I signed up with every single yachting agency, crew, recruitment agency I could find. And I would get these emails. And when I got the first one, I got so excited. And then it was a red flag. Because A, I had already done my research to know how much you would have been gotten paid as a third stew on a certain size yacht. And the first thing was this ridiculous amount of money per month. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. That sounds really, really good. And then it was just like so much vague information that they were giving in this email, but it looked so professional. And before I, because
that's one of the red flags. If it looks too good,
it is exactly. And I'm paranoid about everything, so I was like, I was excited, and then my immediate emotion after that was fear, because I was like, wait, that, hold on. And then I took the email, like, I printed it out and I took it to one of the persons that I spoke to at the dock master's office, and I was like, does this look right? And they said, no, that is a whole scam. Like, don't even follow up with that, you know? And so that's how I learned how to look for those crazy emails and be like, yeah, no, that's not real.
And this I just literally did a video about job scams. And I'm so glad that you said this, because I said on the video, ask for help. People will guide you. They will tell you if you are like, yes, no, maybe, ask somebody, they will let you know that shit's a scam, because they're objective of it. And maybe they already seen it. So you're like in it already. You're kind of like, oh, I'm excited about it, but I don't know. And then like somebody else, and he's like, no, let me crush your dream. This is bullshit.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm actually doing you a favor. Like,
right. And you're going to be hurt about it, but at the same time, they're saving you from something potentially very dangerous, because not only could it be human, I don't, people don't realize that pirates are still a real thing. Like, pirates are very, very real. And you never know what you can come across on the open ocean. Like, it's a scary place. There's nothing and no one out there but you and this crew. And so you have to be so mindful about what jobs you take, because if you're not willing to do a 2-3 week crossing from the East Coast of the US to the Mediterranean, make sure that boat is not going to do that, you know? So
I literally had an email from after the sexual trafficking show that we did. And I had an email from this woman saying that, you know, she didn't want to come to the show because of legal stuff. Well, not legal. The truth was that she was taken from her country, brought into Bahamas to a yacht, what seemed professional to her or whatever. Again, new crew, green. When she got there, she was being drugged and raped over and over. And it was a mafia, like a Mexican mafia vessel that was run by them. And then everybody on the boat was part of it. Obviously, the crew, everybody knew was in it. And then she was there for like a few months. And finally, she was able to get another boat to get her, like to rescue her. So another boat came, took her out. She got back to the States, and then she called the management company. The management company, of course, knew they were in it. And since she opened up and she said what happened to her, they basically said and started threatening her, like, we will kill your family back home. Like, you better shut up, and like all this stuff. So this is why she didn't want to come to the show and, you know, and talk about it, even if it was like anonymously, because she fears for the life of her loved ones and herself. But I'm just saying this because this shit is real. This shit happens.
It is.
And you get so excited and you go and you give your passport. They take it.
Yep.
And now what?
And you can't do anything. You're stuck.
And you're on the sea. You don't have internet. You don't have shit. Nobody knows where you're at. They think it's normal, because usually you don't get to talk to your family often when you're at sea. So it becomes like this big thing. And I mean, thankfully, I mean, she's traumatized, of course, and now she has to heal that. But thankfully,
she's alive and she's home.
Exactly. Yeah. She's alive, you know? And she wasn't trafficked, you know? She was able to get out, you know? She was used, but not trafficked. So, and there's stories. I can talk about it for a long time. But what I'm saying is, like, it's an amazing industry. There's a lot of positive things and and really good professional vessels. If not, I wouldn't have done it for 15 years. But especially with social media now, this has opened a complete new way of these perpetrators infiltrating the industry, you know? So, so please follow the advice, like, ask questions. If it's too good, it's wrong. And go check out my Instagram page. I've made a video about this as well. Tell us a little bit about, is there anything else you want to talk about? Is there something that's coming up for you before you tell us about your course and how you help people get into the industry?
I just want to say, you know, obviously be safe, be cautious, but be very open-minded as well. Because as you said, there are some bad people out there, some really evil-minded people, but for the majority, there's professional vessels, and you're going to have a great time, and you are going to get opportunities that you probably never would have gotten if you not had not come into this industry. Absolutely. So don't be afraid. It's just be cautious.
Be cautious, exactly. Know? Yeah, just, exactly.
Just be cautious, because anything can happen, but that anything can also be very, very, very good for you in the end, you know?
Yeah, it definitely has been for me. You know, it definitely, yes. I have had the other, in the other spectrum where I have had amazing opportunities.
Yes, definitely. You know. I've had opportunities where I started off working on the yacht and then ended up traveling all over the world with the owner as a personal assistant, because again, if you do your job well, there's opportunities for you.
Yes.
Even if you, I call myself a glorified maid, because that's literally what we do. We clean toilets, we make up beds, and we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sometimes we bartend. But if you do your job well enough, your personality along with your professionalism and your skill set can take you so far, even if you're a glorified maid.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing. How are you helping people break into the industry?
So I have an online course that is on the Udemy platform called Breaking Into Yachting. And it's basically for anyone that is completely green to the industry. You may have seen it. I was interested in joining the industry and don't know the first thing about it. It's for people that are green. Like, you don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to fix your resume to look appealing to these people. It's for very green persons. And I did it because I didn't have that blueprint coming into it. Everything that I learned through talking to someone, or I had to go and dig for it myself. There was never a blueprint for me. And so the course is about how to build your resume, how you need to dress, how you need to, I guess that goes along with dressing, but present yourself to recruiters, how you can incorporate your previous profession into the industry, you know, and what to do when you're on board. Like, how do you get started on board? Because again, the egos and, you know, people not willing to train you. If you're green, usually a job description would say, you know, willing to train somebody green or looking for someone green so that they can train you. But you would have an idea of, okay, this is how I conduct myself on board. This is what I need to do in a crew cabin that I'm sharing with somebody, or, you know, like things like that. That people don't know because they don't have that experience to say, well, okay, well, I know how to handle this. Because you don't know, you're moving in with strangers. So you're not sure if you're supposed to do this or not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to, like, you know, things like that. So,
so basically all the steps you need to learn prior to joining a boat, so you can feel more confident, more relaxed when you join the boat. And, and then you can successfully continue your career.
Exactly. Because you don't know the first thing. So I'm telling you the very first thing you need to know.
Amazing. Love it. So we're going to put the link. The link is on the video below. So if you want to check that out, click on the link. You can also follow her on the link below on her Instagram. And I think that's a wrap for me. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Not really. I just want to say, you know, if you're thinking about it, do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. There's no other experience like it. Yeah. It's a really, you're going to travel to beautiful places. You're going to meet some amazing people. I know we talked really bad about crew members, but some crew members become lifelong friends, you know? I've seen so many of my past crew members, they've grown and moved on from the yachting industry. They have beautiful families now, and it can be such an amazing experience. Just that, you know, if you're setting out to do it wholeheartedly, and you will not regret it.
Exactly. And just be cautious and take measurements where needed.
Yes. Yes.
And that's life. You know, that's not just yachting. It's life. It's like in a car, you put the seatbelt, right? Same thing.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Right.
Okay, everyone, that's a wrap. Thank you so much, Inay. That was amazing. I feel like we drop a lot of golden nuggets there for everybody. And yeah, follow the links below the video if you want to get in touch with her, and also check out the course. And until next time. All right. Bye, guys.